This program, brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com, is suitable for mature audiences only and may contain explicit sexual information.
Everyone, and welcome to A Taste of Sex guest speaker interviews, coming to you from One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco. Welcome to the show. This is a weekly audio podcast called A Taste of Sex guest speaker interviews, where we actually get a chance to hear from the country's most prominent speakers and teachers on the subjects of sensuality, connection, spirituality, and relationship dynamics. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jorge Farrar, who is an associate professor at the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco. He's in the Eastern Western Psychology program. And the title of his talk later tonight at One Taste in the Tuesday Night Forum is Spirituality and Intimate Relationship, Monogamy, Polyamory, and Beyond. He's also written a book called Revisioning Transpersonal Theory, A Participatory Vision of Human Spirituality. So for those of you who are interested in holistic sexuality and learning more about what the different options are, you'll truly enjoy this show. Today on A Taste of Sex guest speaker interviews, Dr. Jorge Farrar speaks with us about how to bring together sex and consciousness. He talks about the cultural values of flirting and how that's different between Europe and the U.S., and also how can one access the bodily and energetic intelligence that we're born with, that's already there, once certain blocks are removed. Dr. Jorge Farrar and is going to speak with us today about the combination of sex and spirit. So Jorge, let's kick it off there. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, the combination of sex and spirit? I would like to say that I don't see how they cannot be combined. For me, sexual energy and spiritual energy is the same energy, but in different states of density or different states of transformation. So sexuality, what we call sexual energy, emerges from the energy of life, you know, what the Hindu people call Shakti, you know, and it's an energy of transformation that can get transformed in the human being through our physical, emotional, mental structures, conscious structures, until it becomes like more subtle into those realms of consciousness. And this is what normally in the West and in many other places in our, you know, in our culture is associated with spirituality, those realms of consciousness. But actually for me, like, that sexual energy is really the same energy, but in a different state of transformation.
Why do you think people separate it so strongly? Why do you think there was that kind of sever between sex and spirit?
My sense, there are many factors in different contexts, different historical moments and different places. But my sense is that, in generally speaking, the reason why in many spiritual communities there was like a kind of either a repression or a regulation or a sublimation of the sexual primary energies in the person in order to, you know, pursue spiritual goals, is that at some moments in history, the values of the heart and the energy of consciousness has not been, was not strong enough, and then to open oneself to those very intense primary energies would mean perhaps like a reabsorption of the energy of consciousness into all these kind of like more even instinctive patterns and even animalistic patterns. But today, my sense that the values of the heart and the energy of consciousness is strong enough so that we can kind of re-encounter the primary energy and achieve, you know, a kind of like a spiritual marriage within us between those two energies. And but this is an hypothesis, you know. It's, there is no way to, of course, to prove that, you know.
When you say primary energy, what do you consider is the source of that primary energy?
Well, primary energy has like this double meaning, that is kind of means instinctive, but also means primordial. Mm-hmm. So primordial energy is what is the origin, you know? So is the origin is the primordial energy, you know, of life or the universe, or what kind of like brings kind of like an evolutionary impulse, or maybe what the Greeks call Eros, you know, or the Shakti of the Hindu, you know? So the source of that is like, what's the source of the source, right? So that's why it's, for me, it's very spiritual and very sacred, you know, that energy, because it's, we're talking about an area that is at the origin of life, at the ring of our own life. And this is something that we in our culture will lose contact with, you know. We all came into the world through a sexual act performed by our parents, our mother and our father, all of us. There's no way out of that, okay? And then it's very sad that a culture, you know, talks about an energy that is so intimately associated with the origin of life and the origin of your life in this plane of physical reality, something to be ashamed of, or something dirty, or something kind of like to be afraid of, something to mistrust. And for me, it's not surprising that this is a culture that is so alienated. And it's, you know, going through all these alienation, psychosomatic disorders, depression, you know, because when we disconnect and we treat that energy that is connected to the origin of our life as something, you know, dirty or to be mistrust, we're mistrusting life, we're mistrusting our life. And therefore, you know, things cannot go in a great direction from that place.
And in your hypothesis, is this primary energy something that would be there regardless of humans being alive, or is the body a necessary key for the energy to convert and be experienced?
Got you. I would say that, I mean, the primary energy exists in the universe. It's the primary energy that, you know, exists in the universe, is there, you know, independently from human beings, but it takes specific forms in humanness. And so it takes specific form, you know, in our kind of like sexual world, in forms of instincts and impulses and desires, takes specific form in the body, in the heart, in the mind, in consciousness. So it's like if the energy, as it makes contact with the different human structures, somatic, instinctive, emotional, mental, conscious, takes different forms. But my experience and my sense that is the very same energy of life or of the cosmos that is kind of like impulsing everything from the evolution of the galaxies, the expansion of the galaxies, to the emergence of life on planet Earth before the emergence of consciousness. This is something that we always tend to forget, you know. Before the emergence of consciousness and human consciousness, life, there was a tremendous intelligence functioning in planet Earth, creating the different species, the different plants, and all this was happening before consciousness emerged in the planet. So that's kind of like the kind of like a primordial intelligence or wisdom that is associated or associated with this primary energy, and with which we can reconnect now, you know, marrying our consciousness with that kind of like primordial wisdom of that energy.
When you were first talking about it, I wondered if you were giving a higher priority to the more primordial one, but it sounds like you're saying use both of them together, that is the intersection of sex and spirit.
Yes, exactly. That's the, I think that's the key. Like, you know, in many traditions, like the primary sexual energy has been used at the service of other pursuits, for example, sublimation, opening the heart in forms of like celibacy, using that energy to transforming into like agape, like love of the heart that is non-sexual. I would argue that it is erotic, even if it's non-sexual still, or like in many forms of tantric practice, like using that energy as well to catapult consciousness to kind of like transhuman states, disembodied states, like, you know, becoming the god and the goddess, for example. I believe that what is needed now is like more like a work at integration of those energies, in which those two energies, we're not using one energy at the service of the other, neither of those, but we're kind of like integrating those energies, you know, in body, in our instincts, in heart, and in mind, you know, so that we are both vital and subtle, we're sensuous and spiritual, we're animals and divine, we're human.
How have you studied, and what do you recommend in terms of integrating everything? What works for you?
Life. I think that life is like the best teacher. If you are, you know, if you listen and you're perceptive enough. I mean, certainly any kind of like work in nature. I think nature holds like a referent of that integration. Nature for me is simultaneously sensuous and spiritual. And so any kind of like work in nature, from vision quest to walks to anything that you do in nature, spending time there is something that is really good. Of course, then there are many other practices, you know, there are kind of like bodies of work that today are emerging. And I believe that hearing one taste is part of what you are kind of like doing.
Definitely.
Or seeking to do.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really good news that there are kind of like sensuous sanghas are starting to emerge. And this is quite quite new in many ways. Yeah.
Part of what we're studying is how sexually you can't take yourself out of control. So we always have two people engaged in the practice of orgasmic meditation. And I'm interested to hear more about what's the relationship of sexuality within one person? How do you access your sex in your theory by yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question. There are many ways to access one's own sexual energy, of course, you know, from different forms of self-love. This is the most direct, obviously, you know, masturbation or different kinds of contact or self-massage. You're talking about one person without another person, okay? So this is one form, you know. Again, like going into nature, walks in nature in which there are like you engage into mindful, sensuous engagement of the different textures in nature, leaves, things like that. Of course, if you can do it naked, better. You need to find for
a
place.
That could be said about everything.
Okay, and of course, there are many other things that can evoke that energy, like forms of dance, obviously. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, my sense is that the kind of like inner work that we can do on ourselves is what can make that energy to be flowing within us and through us in a more permanent basis. And I think that's kind of like the horizon and the challenge and also the direction, you know. And there are types of practices that can kind of like unblock energy, you know, the different blocks in the body, you know. But in general, for me, like some general principles is like it's like to get rid of shame in the body. Mm-hmm. This is crucial. And shame, I'm not talking only about psychological shame, but like about the kind of shame that is embedded in the physical structure that takes a form of like different energetic blocks that prevent the free flowing of that primary energy. In a way, what is happening is that we have inherited, you know, energetically from our parents and through many, many generations of like repression, and we inherit like energetic patterns that are already with us, you know. So this is what is blocking, you know. So I think the work is to unblock, to allow the natural condition of the human being to emerge, that is a condition that is simultaneously fully open to that sexual, sensuous energy, primary energy, and also very permeable to consciousness, not to the energy of consciousness, you know. So yeah, any work at kind of identifying those kind of like areas of body shame and then the dismantling those blocks is important. Any work about unblocking the tendencies of the heart to struggle and to fight and to confront, it's important too. And any work to get rid of the mind of its pride, it's important too.
And you have an interesting cultural perspective because you grew up in Spain. How long were you there?
I was there until I was 24.
So how has that informed your work? And what's the difference between the cultures when it comes to sex and spirit?
Yes, it's very different. You know, like my sense is that, I mean, the United States culture is much more influenced, of course, than in Spain or Italy, by kind of like more an Anglo-Saxon forms of Puritanism and Anglo-Saxon morality coming from England and more North countries in Europe. And in Spain and Italy, it's, you know, it's not that there is no repression. There is repression and there is shadow and there is a lot of stuff. But whenever you walk in the streets of Barcelona or Seville or any village around, I mean, the sexual, sensual energy is in the streets. I mean, you get very nourished, and people, I know that many when American people go to Barcelona, they say, oh, this is just so great, you know, I feel so nourished here, you know. I think part is that, you know, it's a very sensuous energy, it's in the streets, out there. It's also, it's a very filtratious energy in a non-manipulative way, you know. Here, like in the States, flirting has like this bad press, you know. Someone is trying to get something from you, you know. Someone is trying to manipulate or something was trying to... And I remember when I first came here, like 14 years ago, I'm a flirter by nature, you know, like probably most Spaniards. And when I first came here, like 14 years ago, I remember I had to start modulating, you know, because I was getting a message that, you know, that was... basically misinterpret, you know, that if I was flirting with someone, this person thought that, you know, wanted to take her to bed, you know, that day. And that was really, in most occasions, really far, far, far from what I was living in that moment. I was just simply expressing myself. You know, flirting is a way of spiritual teasing, but it's also an affirmation of your beauty and your sexual nature. And that's it, you know. So it is very different, a culture like Spain, how they hold those energies and how it's held here in the States. Yeah.
Great, thank you. We're going to take a moment to support our sponsors here on Personal Life Media. Mm. And when we get back, we'll talk more about holistic sexuality and what that means. Mm. So this is A Taste of Sex, guest speaker interviews. I'm your host, Beth Crittenden, speaking with Dr. Jorge Farrar. We'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, erotic poetry reading, a companion program to life in an orgasm-based community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
Hello, and welcome back to A Taste of Sex, guest speaker interviews on Personal Life Media. I'm your host, Beth Crittenden, coming to you from One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco, California. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Jorge Farrar on spirituality and intimate relationships. And today, we're going to speak more about holistic sexuality, which Dr. Farrar teaches and writes about. He actually teaches classes at California Institute of Integral Studies on transpersonal studies, comparative mysticism, embodied spiritual inquiry, spirituality, and sexuality. That is, it's a mouthful. So tell us more about holistic sexuality and tell us more also about why did you decide to bring sex into your work? It's so controversial and it's so confronting for many people. What's the value to you?
Mm. It emerges out of my own personal process of transformation and my own personal search. I'm an Scorpio. I'm from Barcelona. I'm a hot-blooded Spaniard.
I'm a Scorpio too.
And then here I am also with a tremendous passion for also all things spiritual you know, practice for many years, different disciplines, Buddhism and retreats and mission quests and many things, and during all this practice, like for me, like, you know, as an Scorpio, you know, like sexual energy is really it's a partner, you know, it's a partner in these practices, you know. For me, I could never dissociate it, and it's also something that brings kind of like vitalization and like kind of juice to a spiritual practice that otherwise I think it can become more stale or lead to states of what I call kind of chronic equanimity in which certain practitioners...
Boring, in other words.
Advanced practitioners and even spiritual teachers display today. And exactly, that's what I felt. It was boring. And when I was studying with certain teachers, I was feeling, you know, I just don't want to become like them. I don't want to leave anything behind. Otherwise, it feels there is a greater risk for dissociations. And many of the, you know, already also boring scandals, sexual scandals of so many spiritual teachers in all traditions, I think they emerge from those kind of like forms of gross or subtle dissociation between not being, you know, a kind of like a heart and mind and consciousness evolve, but the primary world being still in underdeveloped. And it's normal because if you don't use it, gets underdeveloped, like everything else.
Use it or lose it. So how does it look and feel to live in integration, to have a holistic sexual approach? What's that like?
It's great, but it's very simple, and it's nothing. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, anything you do, you know, from like talking with someone in the radio, having a cup of tea with friends, teaching, or, you know, making love, or practicing, you know, you are still both simultaneously a sensuous being and a spiritual being, you know, and you are not, again, you are just, and then you become, you feel more whole, you know, you are not, you don't need to compartmentalize your life anymore, you know, you need to leave things behind in order to be spiritual. I don't need to, you know, leave my body, I don't need to leave my instincts, you know, to practice, you know, and vice versa, you know. When I go to my, you know, sexual life, you know, I don't need to leave my heart or my consciousness, spiritual consciousness out, you know. So it's like you are more whole wherever you go, wherever you walk.
Are there any places that you haven't quite crossed that barrier that you still have to hold back that sexual side of yourself?
Hold back that sexual side of myself? Say more.
Is there, okay, let's say for me, I grew up in small town Virginia. Uh-huh. And so when I go visit, I'm probably not going to be giving everyone the A to B to Z of what life is now.
Yes. Yes and no. And I'm going to explain why I say yes and no. Yes, that there is like a regulation. Of the, you know, of course, there's a regulation depending on context and depending on who you encounter, but not in the sense that there is no holding back as a conscious or intentional posture that I take. Like I go to a place, so I need to hold back now. No, whenever you move, and again, like this is like an endless path. You know, I don't claim to be fully integrated. That's ridiculous. No one is. It's endless. Life is endless, and those energies are endless. So there is always more. You know, but as you move in the direction of integrating the more conscious and primary energies within yourself, what happens is that not only your consciousness gets more erotized and vitalized and kind of awake and grounded in the body, but your primary world, that energy undergoes a kind of awakening, that there is like a sense in which it kind of starts self-regulating itself without the need for conscious or mental regulation.
We have many listeners who may not be able to get to a seminar or mm-hmm. a One Taste Urban Retreat Center just yet. Let's say there's someone living in Alaska listening to this right now. Mm-hmm. How would you tell them to start an embodiment practice, and how would you tell them to start mm-hmm. bringing their sex and their spirit together?
Mm-hmm. I would say that the two most simple ways that are accessible to almost everybody is one is in the direction that I already mentioned, like contact with nature, like mindful, sensuous walks in nature. Not simply just go to nature and just walk, staying in your mind, you know, thinking about your problems, you know, but going to nature and do like kind of like a more meditative, sensuous walk, you know, in which you smell the different trees and leaves, you touch different things, you get in touch with it, not only with your hands, but also with all your senses, your sense of taste, sense of smell. If you can like bring your body in engagement with different trees, that's something that all persons can do because nature is accessible to most. And here in the States, there is so many places that you can go. It's so beautiful. So, and then the other, like, is more private, is a very simple practice that would be like each person can choose like a music that is evocative, that is either of their sensuality or spirituality, or maybe both if they can find one. And then simply at home, you know, like creating kind of like a date with herself or yourself, and maybe you can even use a mirror if you want or not, and simply allow like the music to enter you, and start moving your body, and allow the movements of the body being co-created by the music and what is awakening within you, and then you will see what happens.
We picked the term One Taste mm-hmm. out of Ken Wilber describing it in his books and mm-hmm. having that taste of the divine. And mm-hmm. I understand you've been in dialogue with him as well. So mm-hmm. how do you see his work kind mm-hmm. of weaving into the greater sexual, sensual conversation?
I should say to begin with, that have been a bit out of contact with his work for the last few years, but I was in dialogue and exchange with him for many years, and then it felt to me that his work was still kind of like had like some certain kind of transcendentalist biases, ascend biases, and even was valuing more like this kind of more disembodied states of even the way he was talking about the non-dual realm that he put at the top of the hierarchy. It felt to me that it was not really integrative, that was not bringing, you know, and especially the body or the primary. So I'm sure that students of his work, because it's so vast, you can find resources there and pearls there to, you know, to also build an integrated life. But something for me, his work that had always issues with, especially in the practical application, is that his proposal for integral practices, you know, integral living, that he calls, is basically based on the selection of different practices for different levels of the person, you know. So I select something for the body, like bodybuilding. I select something for the heart, like devotional chanting. I select something for the mind, like, you know, Raja Yoga. But for me, always the question is, like, who's making those choices? Who's running the business? And it's normally, like, the mind or the conscious mind who's making the choices about what practices are good for the different levels. And in the work I facilitate with my friends, holistic sexuality, as well as in my kind of philosophy of life, is more like that, let's first allow these different worlds, the body, the primary world, the heart, to mature autonomously, and then they will call for what they want to practice, and even they will co-create their own practices. They will create their own yoga from within, rather than like a mental decision of, you know, impose on my body this kind of like discipline, you know, because I've heard, I've read that it's good for it.
So kind of a natural order within the body.
Yes, there is like an intelligence in the body. There's an intelligence in the primary, intelligence in the heart, that if the blocks are taken away and, you know, some kind of work is being offered to those walls so that they can start maturing, you know, then they can start making choices too. They can start kind of co-create your spiritual life as equal partners. The mind, consciousness, the heart, the body, the instinct, all sitting at the same table as we're doing here as equals and co-creating as equals without any of those levels being kind of like the one running the business.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, sure.
So again, this is A Taste of Sex, Guest Speaker Interviews. I am your host, Beth Crittenden, from One Taste Urban Retreat Center. We've been speaking with Dr. Jorge Farrar from California Institute of Integral Studies. Thanks so much for joining us. If you would like to get text and transcripts of this show, please visit www.personallifemedia.com. You can also email us with feedback or questions or arguments. We love to wrestle. Email onetaste@personallifemedia.com. Also, for our full schedule and for information on our courses and conscious sensuality, you can visit www.onetastesf.com. Thanks for joining us.
Find more great shows like this on PersonalLifeMedia.com.